guest today is Josh Holmes. Josh, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great, although I'm a little tired from Code Mash.
I understand. Code Mash is an awesome event, but I tend to be a little more abusive on my body and senses here than I am at a lot of conferences because there's so many awesome people that I just don't want it to end.
Yeah.
So you end up staying up way too late, and you end up getting up way
guilty.
Too early.
Guilty.
Well, and then pummeling yourself with way too much caffeine just to stay awake. But it's an awesome conference. I really enjoy it.
Agreed. Let's talk about nitrogen. That's your baby now. That's
your Absolutely.
Pet thing.
Well, when you say my baby, let me be careful, be very specific here. It's Tim Park's baby.
Okay.
So Tim Park is on my team. He's one of the principal developers on the team. He founded a project called Nitrogen, which is an Internet of Things framework.
Mm-hmm.
Really designed and aimed at the home automation space, but it works in a number of different places where we have devices that are talking to services, receiving command and control back and that kind of stuff, but kind of tuned for home automation. That's been Tim's passion for a long time. But there's now a core team of four or five of us that are working on it pretty heavily.
Okay, and well, what does it do?
So we're working with a number of different startups that are doing home automation and other types of devices.
Mm-hmm.
They have amazing ideas on their device. And typically they have firmware level developers or, you know, embedded developers of some sort.
Right.
And then they care about, well, I can send telemetry data up, store that somewhere, and I can act on it, and I can send, you know, receive commands from the cloud. But I need to do so in a secure way. I need to do so in a scalable way.
Mm-hmm.
My users need to be able to log in and see just their devices and be able to control just their devices.
Okay.
We need to make sure there's not rogue devices on the system, make sure there's not rogue users on the system, that kind of stuff.
Pretty much everybody needs almost everything you talked about there.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. And then on the back end, they want to be able to process the data, do data analytics on it, and they care about how they do that. All the front end of that stuff, though, from the device, talking from the device back to the data is stored somewhere, they don't care about that, really. That's all plumbing. They care that it happens. They care that it's...
They don't care how it happens.
No. I mean, there are parameters that they need, like security.
Okay.
You know, and they need speed, you know, they want to be able to...
Scalability.
They want to be able to walk up to their light and move up and see it go up and down. They
right.
want to be able to change a setting and see it happen, right?
Right?
So there's lag time that they're worried about.
Sure.
But security, lag time, what was the other one you said just a second?
Scalability.
Scalability, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, connecting, you know, your phone to your coffee pot is cute. But... it doesn't really need a lot of stuff in between.
Okay.
Connecting to, you know, 100,000 users to a billion devices, that
right.
requires a little more scale.
Sure. That's a lot of coffee pots.
That's a lot of coffee pots, right? Coffee pots, thermostats, light switches, you know, everything else that could be in the home.
This is the reason that HTTP, I'm a teapot,
yeah.
return code was admitted.
Yes.
I just thought of that. I always wondered.
So... So that's what Nitrogen does. Nitrogen, on your device, you know, we have a couple of different ways you can talk from your device to the Nitrogen backend. And one of those is we have a client library written in Node.js. So if you've got a device that can run Node.js,
okay,
do so. Use the client library. It makes things real, real simple.
Okay. Now, you told me that earlier, and I was surprised because I always thought of Node.js as a server thing.
Right.
In this case, you'd install Node on the client, or if you probably already have Node on the client.
Yep. So Node runs lots of places. I mean,
right.
tremendous number of places. JavaScript is kind of the new x86. I mean, it's everywhere.
Right.
And it's becoming. I mean, it's always been a flexible language and a dynamic language, but it is becoming an incredibly powerful language. I've spent the last kind of 10 months just immersed in JavaScript, and it's been absolutely amazing to see, you know, I still haven't found the edges of what it can't do. I mean, it's just, Yeah, I've been really pleased with it. Anyways, so we've got a native client that runs in Node.js. You can drop that on your device, or say you don't want to use that. You want to use, you know, you're not running a device that's powerful enough to run Node.js, or you just don't want to use Node.js. You can talk via a RESTful service, which we've got. You can talk via MQTT, which is, I forget what the...
Is it a queue?
Yeah, it's machine queue telemetry something or something along those lines. I can't remember what the MQTT stands for. Mm-hmm. It used to be an IBM spec. It is now with the Oasis Foundation, so it's an open standard.
Okay.
But long story short, it's a very popular in machine-to-machine communication, very lightweight protocol. So we've got a gateway for MQTT. We are days from releasing a AMQP gateway as well. And then we're going to be looking at CoAP and OPC. OPC is Ole for process control. There's a lot of words in there that I don't like, but you know, the entire industrial automation space uses OPC as its standard.
Did you say Ole? You mean like object linking and embedding?
Object linking and embedding from the old days.
Excel and Word documents.
That's exactly the one.
All right.
Only you can do, you can control big machines inside of factories like conveyor belts and sorting machines and, you know, loaders and you know, all kinds of stuff with Ole.
Ole.
Ole. Yeah, Ole. Sorry. It's a little scary, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However, we're working on an Ole gateway, Ole for process control gateway for nitrogen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. So we support a number of different protocols.
Okay.
Or you can just run the client library.
Uh-huh.
That will, you know, talk into nitrogen.
Mm-hmm.
The front door of nitrogen is guarded by a registry service. And so you have to have your device registered. And what you do is, you get a SSH style handshake right at the beginning. We give you a key. That key says, oh, I'm me. I'm who I am. And I belong to so-and-so, right? Everything within the system is a principal. So you've got devices, applications, and users are all principals. Principals have permissions on each other. So you can have a device is able to send messages to another device. Users are able to see devices and send messages to them.
Okay.
Devices are able to send users messages. Applications are able to see users and see devices and manage messages between them. Does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely.
So everything is a principle. Everything is has permission sets on each other within the system.
Okay.
We manage all that for you in Nitrogen. So when you're sending data into Nitrogen, at the front door, we're going to look at it and say, are you allowed to send data into Nitrogen at all? Do we know who you are?
Mm-hmm.
If not, we're going to reject it right there.
I see.
That data comes in over whatever protocol we were talking about earlier. And we push that into Event Hub. Event Hub allows for massive scale out and ingestion. Event Hub is a high scale ingestion engine. We're able to do a gigabyte worth of telemetry data in per second.
Okay. Is Event Hub the same thing as notification hubs?
No. Event Hub and notification hubs are very different things.
Okay. All right.
So they both have hub.
All right.
notification hubs.
So you see my confusion.
Yeah. So notification hubs are for
pushing data down.
Devices.
Okay.
Yep. Event Hub is for capturing events.
Okay.
And so it what happens is we push data in the front of Event Hub and on the back of it. Think of it like a large buffer. Okay. And we're able to buffer data in, and we get the data on the back end.
Okay.
And it's guaranteed to be delivered at least once.
Okay.
And it will scale up the services on the back end to match the incoming data.
Okay.
And so we're able to do extremely high ingestion. I've personally pushed Event Hub to 270 megabytes per second. That was about 750,000 messages a second.
Hmm.
That was a lot.
Oh, yeah, you can make a Kessel run in under 12 parsecs with that speed.
There you go. And so we... on the back end of Event Hub, we pull out and we store everything off of MongoDB.
Interesting.
But we also have adapters for table storage, for HD Insight, for, you know, a lot of different types of storage, blob storage, et cetera.
Okay. All NoSQL.
Predominantly NoSQL.
Okay.
There is a SQL adapter as well. Mm-hmm. We don't use it very often because it's not incredibly scalable.
Okay.
But, I mean, it works. I mean, if you need relational data, then you can use that.
Right.
If you don't need relational data, we recommend going with one of the NoSQL options.
Okay.
Let's see. From there, we also can route the messages inside. So if it's the user is sending a message to a device, or a device is sending a message to another device, then what we can do is we'll route those messages through. We push them into service bus, which and into service bus topics, and the devices and users and everybody on the other end, all the principals are subscribed to their service bus topic. They get the messages off those topics, and the great advantage there is that they can be semi-connected as well. So some devices are battery powered. We turn them on a couple of times a day. That's great. Other devices are fully connected and we'll get the messages instantly. And we don't care. We're going to push the messages out to the end and let them sit there as long as they need to.
Interesting.
So message routing and processing on that level. And then we've got an app model as well, where you can install what's called a Nitrogen app to add additional server-side business logic if you want to. Okay. So if you need something more complicated than simple message routing, you can go right
there. There's a hook for doing that.
There's a hook for doing that. And then once we have all the data in storage, now your data scientist can go to work on that data and start applying Azure Machine Learning, or can apply, you know, Power BI or something like that, and start cutting and slicing that data. But the reality is that if you just want to kind of get started, you write stuff on a device that pushes into the gateway, and we'll make and that's all you need. And we'll capture all that telemetry data. You can analyze it later. If you need to do command and control, it's a little bit more work, but not much. To register and subscribe to a set of messages, and then your devices and users can push messages to the device that's listening.
Okay, so let me make sure I understand the boundaries of what Nitrogen is doing here. You've got a device that's pushing to a service that's guarded by some gateway security. It's that's the boundary of Nitrogen, that gateway where the data is coming into Nitrogen.
Yep.
Nitrogen then routes it either to another device.
Yep.
Or to a data, well, probably always to a database.
Always to data.
Yeah, to
and sometimes
it,
depending
and sometimes
on...
Sometimes to another device.
Sometimes to another device.
And that's the boundaries of Nitrogen right there.
Yeah.
So, okay. And the things that you do outside of that, like analyzing the data,
that's
your
else.
Business.
Yep.
The things you do on the device yourself, your
right.
embedded developers, make that's your business. You're handling the plumbing, which is really common stuff.
Yep. And we've got a... there's a web admin portal where you can, as an end user, can log in and you can see just a kind of a raw list of here are the devices, here are the permissions that those devices have on each other, here's the messages that those devices have sent and or received. But it's very raw. You wouldn't want to put this in front of an end user.
This is more for troubleshooting.
It's for troubleshooting, yeah. Well, and it's also, it's a good starting point if somebody wants to go build a beautiful portal for their end users.
Because
we've got all the data there.
Right.
Now you just need to format it and make it pretty. Mm. We didn't do that. It's
is the product done? Are you still actively adding features to it or enhancing the features that are there?
It's constantly under development. We have people who are using it today. Because it is full-featured enough that you can use it today.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's a lot of stuff that we're still looking to add.
You're adding, what's on your feature list? Can you share that?
Sure. We should have said this at the very beginning. It's open source.
Uh-huh.
It's MIT license. It's up on GitHub at github.com/nitrogenjs. And you can find the homepage at nitrogen.io. So if there's a feature that you want, come put in a request. You know, come drop it in as a feature request. Or go develop it, and we're looking for lots of people to pitch in and help.
Okay.
So one of the things that actually something we're working on next week is, and maybe by the time this airs, this will be done, is we're working on the group concept. And so I can group devices into, let's say, you know, I've got a living room. I want to send a message to all the devices in the living room. Or I've got all of the lights in my house. I don't want to send a message to all of the lights in my house at one time. Mm-hmm. So we're working on a group concept. So, because right now, if you want to turn off all the lights in the house, you have to iterate over the list yourself. And so we're going to add a group concept.
Okay.
And so that's one small feature that we're going to be adding next week. We're also working on a phone client app called Oxide. And that is a Cordova app that will talk to and be able to control Nitrogen devices from anywhere.
Okay.
But we're also working on an all join implementation in Oxide. And what all join does is it's device to device communication directly. So on the home network, if I'm standing in front of my thermostat, there's no reason to go out to the internet and come back in order to turn it on. Instead, what we'll do is we'll connect to the thermostat, turn it on, change the temperature, and then we'll let the cloud know, hey, this happened.
Okay.
But that way we get almost zero lag on the, you know, what's happening right here. And then, but we still have access to capture that telemetry data for analysis later.
All right, cool. Can you share some of the clients that are using it today?
Sure. We've been working very heavily with Microsoft Ventures. And so we have a lot of startups that are using it today. There's one called Remo, R-E-E-M-O, getremo.com. It's a wrist wearable controller. So it goes on your wrist, kind of like a Fitbit or a Microsoft Band.
One of these, yeah.
And you can point at a light and raise your hand, turn it on, swipe down to turn it off. You can point at your stereo, turn your hand, and it will turn the volume up. You can flick to the right and flick to the next station. Flick to the left, and it'll go to the previous station. You know, that kind of stuff. So that's
cool.
And they're using
nitrogen. I want to be in a room where two guys have that.
Yeah, yeah.
And one's a little bit country.
Right. And a little bit rock and roll.
And they just battle all night long.
All night long. So we have a company called ISI Technologies that we're working with, and they have a product called HeatWorks. And what they do is it's an instant hot water heater.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a little bit bigger than like a football.
Yeah, my mom had one of those in her house.
It's not very big. The difference between theirs and traditional instant hot water heaters or a boiler hot water heater is that most of the time what they do is they have heating elements that you heat up, and then you pass the water over these, and they are heating the water up from, you know, basically external, you know, kind of like you're boiling water on your stove. What they do, which is quite different, is that they have graphite rods inside of their water heater, and they pass electric current through the water and use the minerals and other impurities in the water to heat the water directly. And so it is 99% efficient.
Interesting.
Because all of the electricity that goes into the device goes to heating the water, except for the bit that checks for temperature and the bit that powers the little bitty 1x1-inch LCD screen.
Wow.
So it's 99% efficient.
Very cool.
Which, anyways, so they're using nitrogen as their back end. So all of those, you can control your water heater from your phone from wherever you happen to be in the world. You can check your flow rate. You can turn it up. You can turn it down. They are looking at different things like if you put this in your shower, you know, having different profiles. So, you know, I like the temperature very hot. My wife likes it about 5 or 6 degrees colder than I do. You know, so we should be able to have instant forever on hot water. Unlimited amounts of hot water at the temperature that we care about.
Okay.
And they're able to do that all, you know, from the phone.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Is there anything we haven't talked about that we should have?
There's a ton of things. So we've got customers using nitrogen today. You can get nitrogen at nitrogen.io or go to the source code at github.com/nitrogenjs. We're definitely looking for pull requests. So you... need to go check it out and let us know what we need to do. And also, you know, if you want to start submitting some code, feel free. That's nitrogen in a nutshell.
That's awesome, Josh. Thanks a lot.
Not a problem. It's a pleasure.
technology is your friend until Skynet.